Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we've got an action-packed show for you today. Going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, right now, the wind-down and the final laps of the running of the Rolex 24 at Daytona, the big endurance race down in Florida, is going to be happening, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Also going to catch you up on the action out at Barrett Jackson this week. The big car auction yesterday was Saturday, and the big cars were out in force, and the big prices were way up there. We'll also talk about an IndyCar lawsuit that was finally settled, and it has to do with our champion, Alex Palou. Got some weird and unusual automotive news. Of course, we'll talk gas prices. Then it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Well, it was quite an overnight last night down in Florida, and the headline reads, Porsche up front as the Rolex 24 resumes for final hours of action. Almost all of the third quarter of the Rolex 24 was run behind the safety car as dense fog shrouded the Daytona International Speedway overnight. The caution flag flew because of limited visibility at 12:45 a.m., that's Eastern time, and racing under the green did not resume until 7 a.m. this morning, shortly before the 64th running of the Classic had reached its 18th hour mark. With more than 6.5 hours remaining, it was the longest continuous caution period in the 64-year history of the Rolex 24, with 121 consecutive laps run at reduced speed. Well, folks, I've never heard of this before. I know I saw yesterday that there was some fog yesterday morning in Daytona, and I thought, well, I wonder if that will affect the race at any point in time. And well, it did the next day. So right now you've got Porsche leading number one and number two, and those are run for the Penske organization. Then we have BMW in third, and the Cadillacs in third and fourth. Excuse me, fourth and fifth. So Porsche, BMW, Cadillac, and that is in the big class, the supercars at Daytona. So I'll have those results for you next weekend, but the 2026 racing season is officially underway with the running of the Rolex 24 at Daytona. Well, today is the final day out at Barrett Jackson as we talk about the auction season, at least here in Scottsdale, coming to an end today. Yesterday was Saturday, which is the big day with the most expensive cars being sold, and I've got a rundown of the, well, it looks like the top 9 or top 10 cars. Let's see, what are we looking, yeah, top 10 cars. I want to apologize for my voice again. I'm still battling whatever this bug that's going out there, so once again, I apologize for the depth and raspiness of my voice. All right, well, so far, the most expensive car that has been sold out at Barrett Jackson was yesterday with a 1955 Mercedes-Benz SL 300 Gullwing Coupe, $2.5 million, a 1961 Mercedes-Benz SL 300 Gullwing Roadster, and that was $1.8 million. A 2019 McLaren Senna at a 2011 Ferrari 599 GTO, $1.6 million. A 2021 McLaren Elva at $1.5 million. These are millions. A 2022 Ford GT 64 Heritage Edition, $1.2 million. A 1966 Lincoln Continental Convertible, $1.1 million. That's a lot for a Lincoln. A 2023 Porsche 900 at $1.1 million. A 63 Corvette split window big tank coupe for $1.1 million. A 2022 Ford GT at $1.1 million. And then the charity vehicle, a 2026 Mustang Dark Horse SC Track Pack, VIN number one, at $1.3 million. And then another car, a one-of-one 2026 Chevrolet Corvette Stars and Steel Limited Edition ZR1X at $2.8 million. So it's been a great time. I was out there Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday at Barrett. Just incredible crowds. So much fun. And today is the last day for Barrett Jackson. So if you had planned on going out, today is your last day. You need to be out there. And if you want some more information, Barrett-Jackson.com for more information. And then I'll have some more results for you next weekend. Well, as the rest of the United States is locked into a huge freeze out, snow and everything everywhere. Well, right now here in Arizona, it's going to be in the comfortable 60 degrees during the day. So I just saw this article yesterday in USA Today and thought I would share this with you. The headline reads, Six Things You Shouldn't Leave in Your Car During Freezing Temperatures. Well, did you keep your sunglasses in the car? Well, you might want to take them out until it warms up. Just like extreme heat, there are certain things you shouldn't leave in sub-zero freezing weather. Well, freezing temperatures from a harsh Arctic blast are expected to affect nearly 300 million people across the continental United States in the coming days, according to the National Weather Service. With that in mind, here are six items you shouldn't leave in your car when it's freezing outside. Aerosol cans. Extreme temperatures can cause aerosol cans to become unstable and potentially break open or explode. Yep, and that definitely makes some sense. Well, canned goods, well, they can freeze and then they can present health risks, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. USDA says cans can swell, and if the food inside expands when frozen, well, or it could cause bacteria, you should definitely discard them. Cans that are not swollen but are thawed out are also unsafe and should be discarded, according to the USDA. Beverages can also expand inside their containers when frozen, leading to cracks and breakage. Eggs should not be frozen in their shell, according to the USDA. If an egg accidentally freezes and the shell cracks during the freezing, discard the egg. Keep any uncracked eggs frozen until needed and then thaw in the refrigerator. Electronics. Leaving electronics like your cell phone or your tablet in a freezing car can impact how they function. Some manufacturers like Apple and Samsung recommend you do not expose products to extreme temperatures at all, since the devices work best when temperatures are above 32 degrees. Well, your medications. Medicine is another thing that shouldn't be frozen. When medications do accidentally freeze, there is no visual inspection if they're still safe to take, according to the Massachusetts-based Bay State Health. Even if they're thawed out, it's best to replace them and not take a risk if they're ineffective or dangerous. In general, any liquid medication in a suspended state will likely be negatively affected if it is frozen, according to AARP. And AARP recommends reaching out to your provider or your pharmacist if you have any questions about the medication. And last but not least, your loved ones. And this one should be fairly obvious. But it is worthy of noting that children and elderly people can be more susceptible to hypothermia in cold temperatures with symptoms such as shivering, confusion, exhaustion, and according to the Center for Disease Prevention and Control. So even with a limited amount of time in an unheated vehicle could be dangerous. And of course, once again, it goes without saying, the same goes for your pets. Well, the headline reads, McLaren awarded more than $12 million in damages in Palou legal dispute. Well, a judge presiding over the London-based lawsuit filed by McLaren Racing against Alex Palou is seeking more than $20 million in damages for breach of contract to dismiss the larger portion of the agreement related to the Formula One on Friday, but upheld the damages sought on the IndyCar side of the agreement. Palou's legal team has the right to appeal the filings, but the ruling remains in place. The reigning IndyCar Series champion, Indy 500 winner, will owe McLaren just a little over $12 million. Quote, this is an entirely appropriate result for McLaren Racing, according to McLaren CEO Zak Brown. As the ruling shows, we clearly demonstrated that we fulfilled every single contractual obligation toward Alex and fully honored what had been agreed to. We want to thank the court for recognizing a very significant commercial impact and disruption to our business suffered as a result of Alex's breach of contract with the team. Now, Racer Magazine understands that the legal costs for both sides exceeded the amount for damages for Palou that Palou must pay. McLaren also said that we'll seek reimbursement for the Spaniard for those expenses, which would more than double the financial outlay if successful. McLaren Racing has been awarded well over $12 million to compensate their business and commercial losses for the disruption following Alex Pillow's breach of contract. Now, Pillow was pleased to see the larger portion of McLaren's pursuit involving loss for his absence with the Formula One program, which would have pushed the ruling closer to $30 million if it had been accepted by the judge. The court dismissed in entirety McLaren's Formula One claims that it stood at almost $15 million. Well, according to Alex Pillow, I'm disappointed that any damages have been awarded to McLaren. They have not suffered any loss for what they have gained in the driver who replaced me. I'm considering my options with my advisors and have no further comment to make at this stage and look forward to the upcoming racing season with Chip Ganassi Racing. Now, Pillow's IndyCar team owner, Chip Ganassi, who backed the legal defense, also weighed on the conclusion of the trial. Alex has always had our full support now and always. We know the character of our driver and the strength of our team. Nothing changes. While we respect the legal process, our focus is, and it should be, is on racing, winning, and doing what we do as our organization. We're locked into chasing for another IndyCar Series championship and defending our 2025 Indy 500 victory. That's where our energy is. That's where Alex's focus is, on the track and doing what we do, winning. Well, barring any successful appeal by Pillow, the judge decision brings an end to a year-long dispute between Pillow and McLaren, which began when the Ganassi driver grew dissatisfied with his Ganassi contract, which paid him in the low six-figure annual salary and signed to drive for Arrow McLaren as Indy team in 2023. But Ganassi held an option for Pillow in 2023, which it had exercised. And through the negotiations, he signed a one-year contract with Ganassi at an increased salary level while incurring the freedom to leave for McLaren in 2024. Pillow duly signed the contract to drive for Arrow McLaren in 2024 while receiving a small signing bonus, but then grew disinterested in moving to McLaren when the Formula One side of the operation executed a long-term contract with its existing Formula One drivers, which suggested that Pillow's dream of reaching Formula One with McLaren at some point in time during his tenure with the organization would go unfulfilled. So this comes to a conclusion. Alex Pillow thought he was going to go to McLaren in the IndyCar team with the hopes of going to Formula One. When that changed before the contract was fulfilled, he went back to Ganassi, and that's where this all happened. And at this point in time right now, he looks like he's on the hook for $12 million and possibly some attorney's fees, which could be almost as much as that as well. So this isn't exactly done as we head into the 2026 IndyCar season and Formula One. A little bit of weird and unusual automotive news. The headline reads, "Police return actor Jerry O'Connell's vintage Cadillac that he didn't know was stolen. Quote, this one's on me." Well, Jerry O'Connell is laughing off a scary situation. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department confirmed to people that the restored 1979 Cadillac was stopped in Malibu. The Lost Hill Sheriff's Department officer said it was observed speeding on Pacific Coast Highway on January 14th. Now, during the detention, the sergeant observed that the driver appeared to be unhoused and, during the questioning, was unable to identify the registered owner of the vehicle. The car was ultimately returned to actor Jerry O'Connell after deputies determined that it was registered in his family's name, according to NBC4. He and his family were unaware that the car had been stolen because they were out of town, according to the Sheriff's Department. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department told People magazine that the man was arrested and then transported and booked at the Malibu Lost Hill Station. After processing, the suspect was released on a promise to appear. Now, O'Connell confirmed that the car had been stolen in a series of posts to his X account later on Instagram on Friday the 23rd. Just to be clear, I am not the homeless man in this story, but very grateful to the Sheriff's Department. Thank you very much. O'Connell also shared the post on Instagram where he took responsibility for the theft, sharing that he had left the keys in the vehicle's console. My bad, this one's on me. So the incident comes 4 months after Jerry O'Connell's cell phone and wallet with a few $100s in cash were stolen during a yoga class in a Los Angeles yoga studio in September of 2025. On this story, according to NBC4, a woman who was identified but not publicly revealed asked to use the restroom and then feigned going late into class. I was wearing a pair of dirty old sneakers to yoga class, so before yoga class, I took them off, slipped my wallet and my cell phone into my shoes, which I've done, 1,000 times. Well, this was one time too many. After telling the front desk attendants what happened, they checked the yoga studio cameras and saw the woman reportedly had a history of thefts. After saying, "Oh, shucks, I'm late for class," she bends down to the shoes, pulls out my wallet and phone, and leaves. So Jerry O'Connell doesn't seem to be very good with his car keys and or his wallet and his cell phone. So got his phone and his wallet back eventually. And in this situation, he got his 1979 Cadillac back after he left the keys in the console. Yep, Jerry, time to pay more attention to your stuff. Well, ending up with the last days of Barrett Jackson, I read into an article about some classic cars, and the headline reads, "Frank Sinatra and Eddie Van Halen had similar taste in expensive cars." Well, everyone likes to fantasize what they would do if money was no object. For us gearheads, there's probably one answer. There's a car with a garage with a fleet of expensive vehicles, and that's where you'd like to find yourself. Well, some celebrities have had the privileged position to make this happen for themselves. Well, Frank Sinatra and Eddie Van Halen, for example, had the freedom to indulge in some of their desires on the automotive front. Well, after all, celebrity net worth estimates Old Blue Eyes' estate would have been around $600 million at the time of his death. And Eddie Van Halen was said to have approximately $100 million as of 2020. So it's not surprising that both had tastes in Lamborghinis. So many of the expensive vehicles that Eddie Van Halen owned, most notably, was a Lamborghini Miura S widebody. Eddie Van Halen's former wife of 20 years, Valerie Bertinelli, bought him the Miura S as an elaborate wedding gift for her new husband with the license plate APR11 to honor the day they tied their knot. This was the car that Eddie Van Halen used as his daily driver around the streets of Beverly Hills. The car was so iconic with him, he used to drive it around while listening to his own music and writing his own music. Certainly a piece of history. We are curated, actually purchased the legendary vehicle and restored the Lamborghini over 4 years to mark its completion in September of 2023. Now, meanwhile, Frank Sinatra, who also owned a Lamborghini Miura, had a story of its own right. Frank Sinatra had a magnificent collection of cars, with the 1970 Lamborghini Miura P400S being one of them. He purchased it new in 1969. Autocar declared the Miura P400 to be the fastest production car of the 60s, with a top speed of 174 miles an hour. Just like Eddie Van Halen, music seemed to be paramount to his driving experience. Sinatra had his car fitted with an 8-track stereo. His color choice, well, a little bit more controversial. This was an eye-catching orange vehicle. Now, to have this remarkable machine built, Sinatra traveled to the Lamborghini factory. He was treated to a private tour around the factory, and the model was completed for his birthday, December 12th, 1969. The Miura then was an ostentatious wedding gift for Van Halen and a birthday gift, for Sinatra. Christie's held an auction for the model in 2003 as a part of a collector auction at Rockefeller Center. Their car had 36,000 miles on it, attracting a final price of $150,000. Boy, that is a bargain in comparison to what that car is worth today. A classic driver report that its owner, prior to that being auctioned, had it carefully restored and since 1977. An appreciation for sleek and stylish Miura isn't the only thing that connects the two music legends. Eddie Van Halen appeared in Frank Sinatra's video for L.A. Is My Lady, joining David Lee Roth as he bursts through the door and points to an exit exuberance. All right, L.A. is that way. The pair doesn't quite hit 774 miles an hour in the classic Mira during the process of leaping into a taxi, but they probably became close. So that's pretty interesting. Both Eddie Van Halen and Frank Sinatra on a classic Mira Lamborghini sports car. And I can tell you this right now, those cars are worth a lot more today than they were paid for during those times. Well, live racing action out at Phoenix Raceway is not very far away, folks. So I wanted to give you an update on some things that are coming up. Now, there's a free event on February 18th as the Indy cars are going to be in town testing. And that's going to be a fun day. It's also called the Unser Open Test. And these cars are going to be testing because they're going to be coming to Phoenix and racing out at Phoenix Raceway in March. So want some more information on that, you can go to phoenixraceway.com. But mark your calendar for a free event out at Phoenix Raceway to watch the IndyCars test ahead of their event on March 7th, the Good Racers 250. Now, in support of that weekend, on March 5th, you have the ARCA Menards race out at Phoenix Raceway, and that is going to be on Thursday night. On Friday, March 6th, you're going to have IndyCar Series practice and qualifying for that and the NASCAR O'Reilly Series. On Saturday, March 7th, you have the IndyCars on the Good Ranchers 250. And that same day, you get a doubleheader with the GovX 200 for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. And then on the following day, on the 8th, will be the NASCAR Cup event out at Phoenix Raceway as well. So a lot of stuff coming up. 4 days of action out at Phoenix Raceway, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But you've got a free event coming up at Phoenix Raceway on February 18th for the testing of the Indy cars. Well, time to talk gas prices with our friends at AAA. Right now, the average gas price is slightly up to $2.86. Right now, the average gas price in Arizona is finally below $3. $2.97 over in New Mexico, $2.64, Colorado, $2.59, Utah, $2.60, Utah, $3.36, and California, $4.23, Texas, $2.45, Oklahoma, $2.42. All right, let's see what's going on here with our gas prices here in Arizona. Well, if you happen to be in Tucson or heading down to Tucson, make sure you fill up when you're there. $2.19 a gallon. That's right. We are knocking on the door of $2 gallon gas. That's at the Arco station on Speedway Boulevard. The Shell station on Speedway at 223. Sam's Club in Tucson on Stone Avenue at 223. Costco at 225. And kind of creeping up a little closer to Metro Phoenix, if you're going to be in Casa Grande, $2.29 at the 76 station. The Arco station in Casa Grande is also $2.29, and the Marana Costco at $2.35. All right, let's see what's going on with our gas prices here in Metro Phoenix. All right, let's talk gas prices here in the Metro. And I was feeling pretty good about myself yesterday when I got gas for $2.69 at the Costco just off of Cave Creek and Beardsley. Well, obviously, in comparison to what else is out there, I paid a little bit too much. Sam's Club on West McDowell in Phoenix, $2.38. The Sam's Club on Dysart in Avondale, $2.39. JJ's gas station in Avondale, $2.39. Quick Trip on Indian School Road, $2.44. The Costco on McDowell in Avondale, $2.55. A slew of Sam's Clubs across the Metro at $2.64, and the Costco on 79th Avenue in Glendale at $2.65. So as you can see, there is absolutely some cheap gas here in Arizona, so go get you some. Well, it's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, Thank you for your highly informational, calm, and fun column, always a must read. You recently answered a question from Simon who had a plug-in hybrid and wanted to know if he should worry about his gas getting old since he drove the car a whole year in the electric mode and never used the gasoline engine. You also explained the car's computer will run the engine occasionally if necessary to address that issue. I have a related question. Should the plug-in hybrid owner worry about the battery that also starts the gasoline engine? Appreciate your guidance. Well, great question. Even though your plug-in hybrid has a large battery to power the wheels, it also has a small 12-volt battery. Now, that 12-volt battery starts the gasoline engine when needed and also powers the car's accessories like your window, windshield wiper, which are designed to run on 12 volts, not 800. Now, the traditional ICE engine, or internal combustion, keeps the car's 12-volt battery topped off with an alternator. When the gasoline engine is running, a belt turns the alternator, which generates DC power to replenish the 12-volt battery. But most plug-in hybrids don't have alternators. So what do they do? Well, they use something called a DC to DC converter. That's a device that takes power from your high voltage hybrid battery and drops it down to an appropriate voltage to charge up the smaller battery. And the DC to DC converter is charging your small battery whenever your car is turned on, similar to what an alternator would do. So if your car uses the big battery charging equipment to top off its 12 volt battery, so even if your car is turned off, but it's plugged into the charger, your 12-volt battery is also getting topped off at that same time as well. Now, the only time you might have a problem, and gasoline cars also have this same issue, is if you let your car sit for a number of weeks and it's not being used, or in your case, not plugged into a charger. Then your 12-volt battery can run down. That's because the 12-volt battery operates things like your alarm system, your evaporative emission systems, even when the car is shut off. So if your lifestyle requires your vehicle to sit like that for, let's say, weeks a time, we'd recommend a traditional trickle charger, which plugs into a household outlet and keeps your 12-volt battery charged up at all times. Or, if you have a plug-in hybrid, simply plug it into your charger for a few hours before you drive it, and that will accomplish the same thing. So at this time, no need to worry about this. These plug-in hybrid engineers have already pre-worried about everything on your behalf. Well, folks, that's something that I never even thought of or considered or in this situation knew, because I don't have a big hybrid car. We have a Prius, which is a gasoline hybrid car, which does not require you to plug the car in to use the hybrid aspect of the vehicle. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.